Joining me now in the Morning X is Tina Hutchins. Tina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kev. It's lovely to be here. I've heard about this show.
Oh, you have? What did you hear?
Oh, yeah. All good things, really.
Oh, good, good.
I wouldn't say anything else.
I'm glad they told you the good parts, Tina. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Tina is an author and the sister of the late Michael Hutchins of INXS. She just released a book called Michael, My Brother, Lost Boy of INXS. This is actually the second book about Michael that you've written. So how is this one different from the first one?
Well, the first one I wrote almost immediately after he had gone. And in the meantime, so much more has come to light. And at first people were not, his friends were not talking. You know, we were all so stunned. So with this one, I was able to get around and just speak with everybody who worked with him and just, you know, producers, directors, all kinds of people, his friends and all the women in his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, we didn't know back then when he took his life that it was due to a TBI, traumatic brain injury, he had sustained in 92.
Well, did he have an accident that caused the injury?
Yes, he was in Denmark with Helena Christensen, and they were on their push bikes coming back with food, takeout, and a cab came around the corner, and they didn't seem to get out of the way fast enough for him, apparently. He jumped out of his cab, came straight at Michael, who was holding food and the push bike, and clocked him.
Wow.
And he went straight back, hit the back of his head, and damaged the olfactory.
And so the brain injury went undiagnosed after that?
Well, it was diagnosed, but back then they didn't know the things that can occur from a traumatic brain injury.
I mean,
now we're talking about, because you can't open the brain to take a look, and x-rays don't show what it does.
Right.
And now we're talking about people in the NFL. Those guys, so many of them have taken their lives, died early. They have the same thing. But yeah, back in the 90s, they weren't. And he had kept quiet about that. I mean, he told us he had an accident. He did not tell us how bad it was. He had been seeing specialists, but all they did was put him on Prozac.
Right, which wouldn't do anything as far as the injury went.
Absolutely not, yes. And in the meantime, I read an article by this woman, Amy Zelma, who was living with one, and she's written a couple of books on it, and she talked about having trouble with wild lighting or loud noise, music, or crowds. Well, that was Michael's life.
Right. Every night of his life. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. And so he didn't know what was wrong with him. I mean, obviously, there were things going on, and he couldn't understand. I mean, when I look at his photographs and think about him in the last 2 to 3 years, he was actually wearing sunglasses on stage, which he's never done before. No, so
which right? If you didn't know anything about him, you could just think that was a rock star thing, you know, just looking cool for the audience.
Right, and and his personality changed demonstratively. He was always such an easygoing guy. He had great funny stories. He could tell a great story, and he became a little more sort of difficult. It's like he'd sit there for a while and say, "No, I don't like this restaurant," or he, you know, it just wasn't Michael. Just not the easygoing Michael.
2 decades later, nearly, it's easier to talk to the people around him about what happened. So that made this book a little bit easier to research.
Absolutely. And I wrote it along with Jen Jewel Brown, who in Australia is one of our premier rock writers. And she knew Michael. So
she knew him personally.
Yes. And so she was the first one who wrote him up when he was, you know, about 17 years old, and she talked about this skinny kid that came up to the microphone and just belted a song out, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought she was the best person to write with, and it turned out to be a well-rounded book that way.
So how can I hire you to be my sister? Because I'm pretty sure my sister would never write a book about me, no matter what happened, no matter how far I went in my life. No, it's actually really interesting. You were 12 years old when Michael was born, so what's it like to watch your brother grow up to be a rock star?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, first of all, I didn't believe him when he, you know, I was known for just as a teenager, I was walking around and he was attached to my hip all the time, you know?
Right.
But when he called me and said, you know, I've started singing with this band. And I said, singing? What do you know about singing? I mean, you do this in front of people? He said, I guess eventually, you know.
Right, sure.
Because he'd been a very shy kid. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. The first time I saw him, it was like another person out there who bounced onto the stage. Mm-hmm. You know, even when they were playing little stages, he just took over the whole room. He just had a certain something about him.
He was that electric front man for sure. So I know this is a painful topic, and suicide seems to be an increasingly common thread among rock musicians. We've lost more than we care to talk about, especially over the past few years. Do you think there is a common thread there as far as the pressure of that lifestyle goes?
With Michael, yes, I can see that, because you do with him. When he was leaving Los Angeles 5 days before he died, he was on the phone to me. He said, I don't want to go back to Australia. I can't do the last 6 shows. And I said, well, you don't have to. You've given them 20 years. They can put off shows. I hear that happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you needed a break. And I knew he had a lot on his mind, and he'd had a terrible time with the British press at that stage for 2 years. And he just said, I guess I can't let them down. You know, they always all need to make their next million or something. He made some crack like that.
Yeah, sure.
And, I said, you know, I'm telling you, you can put it off. I mean, people will wait for this. Don't go. But he got on the plane about 2 hours later, you know.
Yeah.
And but it never occurred to me that he would be pushed to the limit,
yeah,
you know, after being up all night and drinking and getting bad news on the phone.
So we're on with Tina Hutchins right now. Tina, on a happier note, you're actually going to be hosting a show with Kick, the INXS Experience at Rock House in West Dundee next Thursday, December 12th.
That's true. Yes. Have you seen them?
I haven't. And I was going to ask you, what is it like for you being, Michael's sister, watching a different singer sing these songs? Do you feel like you are a little more critical of that guy?
Of course, I always have been. You know? I've never gotten this close to a tribute band before. And Corey Massey has an amazing voice and really delivers the songs. And the whole band, I mean, they're great musicians. I was so blown away when I saw them. You know, they're just extraordinary. And it's a great matchup. I love being there. I introduce the band and I talk to the fans. I have my book there, of course. And I'd urge anybody to come down and see this band, because if you never experienced INXS in those days, you'll get the full experience here.
So this is the closest you can get to the real thing then?
Absolutely. And you know, I say that after hearing many other bands. They are wonderful. The showmanship is fabulous. And Corey doesn't try to be Michael. He just sings, but he's got this great voice.
I think that's the key. I've seen tribute bands try way too hard to sound like the band they're tributizing. And if you put your own spin on it, you could be really good.
Oh, absolutely. Corey seems to have that certain something, too. So he grabs the audience. And I think that's what people look for when the front man comes out and touches you. You know?
Yeah, and you want to hear the songs you know, and if you can get a good front guy up front singing them, that's all it takes.
Well, yes, and it's wonderful to watch people singing along. You know, they know all the words, and it just really touches my heart. I don't know why I didn't do this earlier.
So if you want a signed copy of Michael, My Brother, Lost Boy of INXS, go see Tina at Rock House West Dundee, and then enjoy Kick, the INXS Experience, Thursday, December 12th. Shows at 8 o'clock, doors open at 7. Again, that's Rock House in West Dundee. Tickets start at $15 at rockhouse.com. We'll give away a pair right now, 815-874-2104, caller X. Tina, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Oh, you're so welcome, Kev.